The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame welcomes 6 new musicians and bands next week. Some come from London or from Los Angeles. The Beastie Boys and Laura Nyro come from New York. Very different artists who were influenced by the music of the streets. Here's David C. Barnett of member station WCPN.
As a girl growing up in the Bronx of the late 1950s, Laura Nyro listened to a lot of AM radio. She loved singing along with doo-wop groups like the Chantels, who also hailed from the Bronx. Felix Cavallari, a close friend of Nyro's and lead singer of the Rascals, says the nighttime New York streets had dozens of similar groups harmonizing on corners and down in echoey subway stations.
In those days, the norm was to just get on a street corner and sing. And the thing that you remember the most about that is the quality of the voices that were around.
Classical music and jazz joined Laura Nyro's playlist. She attended the High School of Music and Art in Manhattan, where singer Janice Ian was a year behind her. Ian says both of their families shared roots in progressive politics.
We were surrounded by the civil rights movement, by the women's rights movement, by the gay rights movement. All of those things were flourishing in New York.
And Laura Nyro reflected them in her music. In the wake of the 1968 assassinations of Martin Luther King Jr. and Robert Kennedy, Nyro wrote a gospel-tinged number calling for peace and understanding.
Come on, people, come on, children. There's a king at the Glory River, and the precious king, he loved the people to sing. Bathed in the blinking sun, sang we shall overcome.
Laura Nyro knew how she wanted her songs to sound, and Felix Cavallari says she was tough in the studio when he produced a record for her.
Being from the Bronx, she was a tough guy, you know? So she would talk with a cigarette hanging out of her mouth, dangling, like you see in the movies, you know? And in the studio, if she didn't like something I said, she'd hit me. She'd punch me in the friggin' arm like a guy. Wham! You know, oh, Jesus.
Cavallari says Nyro was fond of unusual song structures and tempo changes. But the complexities of her music didn't endear Nyro to broadcasters, who pretty much dictated what a record needed to sound like if it was to get airplay. And Cavallari says that's why other artists, such as Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and The Fifth Dimension, had more success with her songs.
All they did, they took those little nuances out and made them more palatable to the program directors, because her voice was certainly good enough to be on the radio.
And when I die, and when I'm dead and gone.
In 1971, after producing 5 albums in 5 years, Laura Nyro began easing off of her recording and performing schedule. She died of ovarian cancer in 1997 at the age of 49.
And when
as Nyro's career started winding down, 3 Brooklyn teens were starting to make some noise with a very different kind of music.
B.S., here I go! B.S., T.I., that's what we gotta be!
The Beastie Boys really begin as a hardcore band. Hardcore is a variant of punk.
Village Voice music critic Robert Christgau says he didn't think much of the Beastie Boys at first, although he developed a fondness for them and the other New York punks.
One of the things I liked about the punk movement is how many of the people who were in punk were really funny. And you could see that in the Beastie Boys. You could see that they really had a sense of humor, even when they were being completely destructo-anarchistic.
Adam Yauch, Michael Diamond, and Adam Horovitz were trying to develop a New York version of hardcore. But in a 2006 interview with WHYY's Fresh Air, Yauch said another kind of music, born on the streets of the Bronx, started attracting their attention.
We were kind of listening to a lot of hip-hop even when we were a punk band back in those days. Even in the small punk clubs, they used to play like Sugar Hill Gang and Funky Four Plus One when it was just called rap.
Where we just can't miss. We just can't miss.
Well, we just can't miss.
With a beat like this.
It's the joint.
Since the late 70s, rap had been filtering out of black neighborhoods and across the city. But in order for the Beastie Boys to bring their version to the stage, they needed a DJ. And they found one in a New York University student named Rick Rubin, who went on to produce their first single. She's On It added a hard rock sound to rap rhymes, a technique that Rubin had used with Queens rappers Run DMC and would continue to use on the Beastie Boys' debut album, Licensed to Ill. It was the first rap record to hit number one on the Billboard charts, partially due to a song that remains the Beastie Boys' best known. Fight for Your Right reached a frat boy audience far beyond the streets of New York. Adam Yauch says that's a cross the group has had to bear ever since.
It was just kind of like one of those like smoking in the boys' room type things. Just thought it was kind of funny. But I don't think we realized that it was going to be the main focus of the album.
And if the Beastie Boys remain a bit ambivalent about the song that launched their career, Fight for Your Right can still tell you a lot about the place it came from, with its sense of humor and New York attitude. For NPR News, I'm David C. Barnett.
You gotta fight for your right to party.
From NPR News, it's Morning Edition. Our engineering supervisor is Kevin Langley. Our technical director is Kurt Stoliker. Audio engineers include Stacey Abbott, Nathan Bark, Greg Gevin, Brian Jarbo, Ted Niebane, Vince Muse, Dennis Nielsen, Sean Phillips, and Bill Plummer with Theo Mondel at NPR West. Our executive producer is Madalika Sicka. The executive editor of news programming is Alan McDonald. The theme music for this program was written by B.J. Lederman and arranged by Jim Pugh. I'm Steve Inskeep.